Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Matasha, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Zama.
Very well. Are you good?
I'm good. How is South Africa today?
Well, South Africa is fantastic. The weather is good, I must say, and I think I'm enjoying the cooler weathers. I don't like winter, I must tell you. So if I'm saying it's still good, then you must believe it's definitely it's definitely still good. Otherwise, in the next couple of months, I'm going to be complaining, man. I'm going to be telling you guys that no, it's not good, because I'm not a winter person. I'm definitely not. How's it on your side?
There's no winter in Beira.
No winter in Beira at all?
Yes.
My goodness, you guys are blessed, man. But hey, I must actually visit Beira and make sure that I enjoy some of that summer breeze there that comes all year round.
Please do. I'll be honored to host you.
Lovely. Now, let's get to our discussion this afternoon, peacemaking in personal and professional life. And today, we want to talk about peace with God. And of course, peace with God and peace with men are two distinct yet interconnected concepts, often discussed in theological contexts as well. Now, can we make any progress in making peace between ourselves and other people before we have found peace with God? And this is what we actually want to uncover and discuss this afternoon. First off, Pastor, how can we cultivate peace with God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are a couple of things that we can do to cultivate peace with God. First, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, the peace with God that can we have is if we accept the justification by faith that is freely offered to us. In John chapter 14, verse 7, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So we must accept God's hand in trying to give us peace. This is where we can have peace with God. So what are the practical steps?
Yeah. So hang on. Before you get me the practical steps, what you are saying to me is that we are not the one to cultivate and initiate peace with God. He does. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So God is the one who offers the peace. Ours is to accept it or deny it. So what should we do? One, we must accept the peace and have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Two, we must have some peace talks. That is prayer. We must talk to him regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no peace talks. There's no relationship without communication.
Mm.
The more we talk to him, the more we will be at peace with him. Three, we must study his word and meditate upon it to understand what is it that he wants. Listen to him, hear him, before we tell him what we want from him. So we must study his word and hear him,
mm-hmm.
and talk to him through prayer. So we must also repent and seek for forgiveness. We'll talk more about forgiveness in the next question. And then five, we must totally surrender to him and his will and seek for it every day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hope this is not a political correct answer.
No, this one is a correct answer.
Okay.
Now, how does peace with God impact our ability to have peace with one another?
Yeah, so peace with God will promote humility and forgiveness with in us towards others. So Matthew chapter 6 says, we are forgiven as we forgive. We shall unpack that past. But that verse, that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us as we forgive. So if we get peace with God because God has forgiven us, we will understand that when others wrong us, they are in the very same position that we were with God. And it is our duty now to offer the peace. So it promotes us to be humble and forgiving. And then if we are at peace with God, his love and his compassion must flow through us to others. Remembering what God has done for us, we ought to do it to others. And finally, peace with God fosters empathy and understanding towards others. If we were in a certain situation and we were wishing God to understand and forgive us and give us another chance, we should be in the same position to say, when someone says, please forgive me, I didn't mean it, I need another chance, to extend that to them.
Now, thank you so much for that, Pastor. Now, so what you are saying is that when we say forgive us as we forgive others, that's exactly how our peace with God is impacted with others. So that forgive us as we forgive others, when we ask God, it's not just a rhetoric, eh? It's not just something that we say because they said we must do it, eh? Beautiful stuff. Now, how can we resolve conflict and make peace with others? Does the Bible offer specific methods or principles?
Yeah, the Bible definitely has some principles. I'm going to draw these lessons from few Bible verses. The first one is Genesis chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. It talks about Abraham and Lot when they were at conflict. Remember, Abraham is the one who was called by God, is the one who was promised and by God, and Lot is someone who Abraham chose to cook with him. When there was a conflict, the conflict starts with Abraham's servants versus Lot's servant. But when this issue is being resolved, Abraham sits Lot down and says, let there be no conflict between me and you because we are relatives. So how does he solve it? He says to Lot, choose where you want to go. If you go to the east, I'll go to the south. If you choose the mountains, I'll go to the valleys. If you choose the valleys, I'll remain in the mountains. So what is the principle there? The principle right there is put others first. Always when you are in a conflict with someone, be mindful to put others first. Abraham did not say, I'm the one who was chosen, so I'm taking this portion, take the remaining. He said to Lot, choose which portion you want. So he put Lot first. Ellen White, commenting on the issue in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 132, says that here is the noble, unselfish spirit of Abraham that he displayed. How many under similar circumstances would at all hazards cling to their individual rights and preferences? How many whole households have thus been rent asunder? How many churches have been divided, making the cause of truth a byword and a reproach among the wicked? So right there, Abraham is giving us the principle. If you put others first, some of the embarrassing conflicts that we do as a church that ends up in the heathen courts could be avoided when we put others first. The second one is forgive. Choose to forgive others. I was preaching last year in Lesotho. There's a place near in South Africa, but towards the border of Lesotho. And one of my friends who was hosting me, he said, "Pastor, here, you must load your greeting bundles because there are Sotho people, you know, Dumela that. When you make," and he was saying, "you will not preach successfully here if you did not greet them. When you go to the pulpit, they will say, 'Man, all us are Dumelisang.' So you must be always careful to greet them." So here, one of the principles is always load your forgiveness bundles. Be ready and load them daily. And then the other example is Genesis chapter 45. We spoke about it yesterday. Joseph, how he forgave his brothers. He looked at the bigger picture. He said, "You meant evil, but God meant good.
You thought
you were selling me, but God was sending me." So instead of looking at what is it that is dividing you, look at the bigger picture. What possible good can come out of the bad that others are intending to do to us? And then be humble. Approach conflicts from a humble side. 1 Samuel chapter 25, we spoke about Abigail. You know what she did? She packed food. She fell on her face to David just to make sure David does not fight with her husband. So always be humble. And then practice active listening. That's James chapter 1, verse 19, which says everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak. Yep. Most of our conflicts are caused by the fact that we speak to be heard and we listen to answer, not to hear what others are saying. That's why even when others are still speaking, we already have an answer of what to say. Number five, seek mediation. It's okay to find someone who will come and facilitate and meditate. When we were at conflict with God, God brought Jesus as our mediator. It's fine to find someone who can try to say, "Okay, I hear this story, I hear this side of the story," and try to mediate. We must also empathize and understand others, not try to be understood. Our problem is we want others to understand us, but we don't want to understand others.
Yeah. That's very true. Now, tell me, Pastor, I want to talk about forgiveness a bit, because you mentioned that, and you said that forgiveness bundles must be loaded and be packed. Now, I'm wondering, what role then does forgiveness play in achieving peace? I mean, you can forgive but still remain without peace, eh? So is it a requirement that you must forgive to have peace? And are you guaranteed to have that peace?
Okay, so forgiveness is God's magic. Let me put it that way, but I'll explain why. Forgiveness is a prerequisite. You cannot be a Christian if you can't forgive. That's why Matthew chapter 6 that we quoted, verse 12, says, Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive.'" Do you know what that means? It means, God, before you forgive me what I have wronged you, watch my life. Look how I forgive those who wrong me. That's how I want you to forgive me. Now, that's dangerous. Jesus was saying, your forgiveness from God is determined by how you forgive those who wrong you. And in giving this lesson, he even gave a parable in Matthew chapter 18, starting from verse 23. Verse 32 to verse 35, Peter comes to Jesus and says, "How long must my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" You know? And Jesus says to him, 70 by 7. And then he gives this parable. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who had his servants. And one of the servants was owing so much. And he said, 'I'm going to lock you up and sell your family until you pay.' And the man asked for forgiveness. And God and his servant, his master, forgave him. And on his way out, he met a fellow servant with him who was owing him way much less. And he said, 'I'm going to lock you up, pay me.' And the servant pleaded the same way he did. and he grabbed him by the throat, and he did not forgive him, and he locked him in prison. And the other servants saw this story, and they went and told the master, who in turn took this servant to the tormentors and locked him, and he said, until you pay. You see, so what is the lesson? The lesson is, God is saying, without forgiveness, and you know who is this man that owed so much?
Yeah.
That's us. And the man who owes little, that's our brothers who offend us. The offense that we were having with God, we could not pay it, and God forgave us. How dare we fail to forgive others? So when we forgive, so forgiveness is a prerequisite. Then forgiveness, what it does, it sets us free. It sets the jailer and the prisoner. When you are holding a grudge with someone, that person has a say on your life. They actually have power and control over your life. Every time you see them, every time they say something, they control what you feel. When you forgive, it frees you from this bitterness and resentment. And forgiveness will give us healing and restoration. And lastly, forgiveness is divine. None of us have it. We can teach each other, say what forgiveness can do, but without God, it's not possible for us to forgive. So forgiveness is a gift from God. So what are the steps that we can take to forgive others? First, we must acknowledge that we have been hurt. There are people who say, yeah, I'm not hurt, I'm not hurt, I'm not angry, when they are angry. Don't try to mask your problems and pretend that you are not hurt when you are hurt. So it's called emotional intelligence, by the way. That when you are angry, you say, I am angry. Or what you are saying will make me angry. Please stop saying what you are saying. That's emotional intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people will get angry and still deny and say, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. And they are angry. So accept that you have been hurt. Two, choose to forgive. Make it a decision to say, I want to forgive regardless of how I feel. And then see, ask God to give you the strength to do it. Forgiveness is divine. And D, ask God to free you from bitterness and resentment and anger. Then reach out to the person who has wronged you and offer them your forgiveness. You say, you know, the way you spoke or what happened, it didn't sit well with me. But anyway, I've chosen to close this chapter and forgive you.
Yeah. Now, these steps that you've given us about forgiveness, do they guarantee me peace once I've done them?
Forgiveness is one of the things that gives peace. Complete forgiveness will give peace. Will give complete peace. So, if God, but you can't give what you don't have. So, God has to give you the forgiveness first.
I see.
And then you extend it to another person. When you forgive, ask those who have once done it, you feel like a load has been taken off you. It gives you this peace.
And this will be, are you talking now about inner peace?
Yes, that's inner peace, yes.
Ah, and that's how we find inner peace, to be forgiving people, basically.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Matacha, I must thank you so much for your time. Obrigado. And we're going to be talking to you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Oh, Dinada, thank you so much. I don't know who taught you obrigado.
Love. Have a good day. Well, it's spoken on the African continent, is it not?
Yeah, it is. You are a true African. God bless you, man.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
Okay,
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.